Here's a summary of some legal news from this week. Harvey Weinstein, the former film mogul, had his 2020 rape conviction overturned by the New York Court of Appeals. This significant development paves the way for a new trial. Let's delve into the details. Conviction overturned. The New York Court of Appeals, in a scathing 4-3 opinion, ruled in favor of Weinstein. They found that the trial judge had erroneously admitted testimony of uncharged, alleged prior sexual acts against persons other than the complainants of the underlying crimes. Essentially, this means that evidence related to other allegations not directly part of the case was improperly allowed during the trial. The court's decision has reopened a painful chapter in America's reckoning with sexual misconduct by powerful figures. This era began in 2017 with a flood of allegations against Weinstein, which significantly contributed to the rise of the hashtag MeToo movement. Implications. Weinstein, who is 72 years old, had been serving a 23-year sentence in a New York prison following his initial conviction. With the conviction overturned, a new trial will take place, and his accusers may once again be called to testify, reliving their traumas on the witness stand. Legal basis for overturning. The appeals court specifically highlighted that the trial judge's decisions were prejudicial to Weinstein. Allowing testimony about unrelated allegations and focusing on Weinstein's bad behavior during the trial was deemed an abuse of judicial discretion. This development underscores the complexities of justice, the impact of legal decisions, and the ongoing struggle for accountability in cases of sexual assault and harassment. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other major business groups have filed a lawsuit against the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, challenging the ban on most worker non-compete agreements. Here are the key details. FTC's ban on non-competes. The Federal Trade Commission recently voted to approve a final rule that bans non-compete agreements nationwide and voids most existing non-competes. The goal of this rule is to promote competition, protect workers' freedom to change jobs, increase innovation, and foster new business formation. According to FTC Chair Lena M. Khan, non-compete clauses keep wages low, suppress new ideas, and hinder economic dynamism. The rule aims to ensure that Americans have the freedom to pursue new jobs, start businesses, and bring innovative ideas to the market. Impact and benefits. The FTC estimates that the ban on non-competes will lead to 8,500 additional new businesses created each year. Workers' earnings are expected to increase by an average of $524 per year, and healthcare costs may decrease by up to $194 billion over the next decade. The rule is also anticipated to drive innovation, resulting in an estimated 17,000 to 29,000 more patents each year for the next decade. Existing non-competes. Existing non-competes for the vast majority of workers will no longer be enforceable after the rule's effective date. However, non-competes for senior executives, representing less than 0.75% of workers, can remain in force under the FTC's final rule. Employers are banned from entering into or enforcing new non-competes, even if they involve senior executives. Public comment period. In January 2023, the FTC issued a proposed rule, which received over 26,000 comments during a 90-day public comment period. More than 25,000 comments supported the FTC's proposed ban on non-competes. Business groups have criticized the measure, arguing that it casts too wide a net by blocking nearly all non-competes. They contend that highly paid executives can negotiate greater pay in return for accepting a non-compete one. Overall, this rule aims to strike a balance between protecting workers' rights and fostering a competitive business environment. The use of courthouse dogs in the justice system is increasing, but defense lawyers worry their cuteness could sway juries for. Courthouse facility dogs are expertly trained canines that assist individuals with psychological, emotional, or physical difficulties in various courtroom situations. These dogs are increasingly used to support young witnesses during trials. However, there are concerns about whether their presence might prejudice defendants or influence jurors' decisions. Here's what we know based on research. Purpose of courthouse dogs. Courthouse facility dogs provide comfort and emotional support to vulnerable individuals, including child witnesses and victims of serious offenses like child abuse and sexual misconduct. Their presence aims to alleviate the stress and anxiety associated with testifying in court, especially for children who may find the experience overwhelming. Studies on jury influence. Researchers have conducted mock trial studies to explore the impact of different courtroom accommodations, including facility dogs, on jurors' judgments. Experiment 1. In one study, teddy bears were found to be prejudicial to defendants, but facility dogs were not. Experiment 2. Neither facility dogs nor teddy bears were found to be prejudicial. Overall, evidence suggests that facility dogs may not significantly influence verdicts, verdict confidence, or sentencing. Therapeutic jurisprudence. Courts in the U.S. use therapeutic jurisprudence, which considers how the law can positively affect the psychological well-being of those involved in the justice system. The use of facility dogs aligns with this approach, aiming to create a more supportive and less intimidating courtroom environment. Balancing comfort and fairness. While courthouse dogs provide comfort, judges must strike a balance to ensure a fair trial. Defense lawyers raise concerns that the cuteness of these dogs could sway jurors' opinions, potentially prejudicing defendants. However, research indicates that the presence of facility dogs does not necessarily lead to biased verdicts. In summary, while the use of courthouse dogs is increasing, their impact on jury decisions appears to be minimal. These well-trained canines serve as a source of comfort without compromising the fairness of the legal process. The U.S. government has taken significant steps regarding TikTok, the popular social media platform. Congress recently approved a bill that presents two options for TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. Sell TikTok to an approved buyer. If ByteDance sells TikTok to a U.S.-approved firm, the app can continue operating in the U.S. face a stateside ban. If ByteDance does not sell TikTok within the specified timeframe, the app will be banned in the U.S. President Joe Biden signed this legislation into law. However, the actual implementation of the TikTok ban may take several years due to legal challenges. Here are the key points. Timeline for potential ban. ByteDance has 9 months from the bill's signing to divest and find an American buyer for TikTok. The president can extend the deadline by an additional 90 days. Without a sale, the earliest TikTok could shut down in the U.S. would be more than 1 year from now. If ByteDance sues to block the statute, which it has indicated it will do, the case will be taken up by the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. The judicial review effectively pauses the clock on any ban. If the D.C. court rules against ByteDance, either side can request a review by the U.S. Supreme Court. This process could delay any actual ban until 2026. TikTok's defense. TikTok plans to argue that the ban is unconstitutional. The company asserts that it has taken steps to protect American users' data. TikTok has launched an aggressive lobbying campaign, featuring small business owners and influencers who consider the app their lifeblood. Finding a buyer. The bill allows TikTok to continue operating if ByteDance sells the app to a U.S.-approved firm. While large U.S. tech companies might be interested, Biden administration regulators and critics of big tech firms are cautious about expanding their power and influence. In summary, TikTok's future in the U.S. remains uncertain, and legal battles will likely shape its destiny over the coming years. Sources used for this podcast include aptnews.go.com, nbcnews.com, aptnews.com, chicago.suntimes.com, fastcompany.com, ftc.gov, wsj.com, courthousedogs.org, cbsnews.com, gamesindustry.biz, foxbusiness.com, usatoday.com, epi.org and onlabor.org.